Welcome to Allergy Dragon's Lair. My name is Martha Morgan. I am your host. I'm a natural specialty diet and allergy chef, and I'm someone that's living with celiac disease and multiple food allergies. But my biggest claim to fame is raising a child with over 30 food allergies and celiac disease. I think most people that listen to this, whether you're streaming on YouTube or on any of those streaming platforms, knows what Allergy Dragon's about, and that is I like to interview really cool people or people I perceive to be very cool in our space of allergy and autoimmune disease world. Find out what makes them do what they're doing and how they're living their lives, and maybe we can get some inspiration or tips. So before I introduce the next guest who I have here, her name is Tracy. We're going to jump into my legal disclaimer. So the views expressed here on our show are the personal opinions and experiences of ours and our guests. We are not healthcare providers or doctors, however some of my guests have been. Please seek advice from your healthcare professional for any diagnoses or changes to your healthcare plan. End of disclaimer. So now we're going to jump into this fun part of this. I have Tracy Stuckrath, and I am horrible at people's last names, so I may not have said it right. And she is a dear friend, so she will let me know if I didn't do it right. But she's also an expert, as well as being, you know, a rad human that I love to talk to. She's a food and beverage expert, speaker, podcaster, but I'm going to let her kind of introduce herself. So Tracy, thank you so much for taking the time to be on my podcast. I've got to be on your podcast, and I just think you are an amazing human being. And so can you please introduce yourself and explain to everybody what you do, what you do?
Yeah, thank you, Martha. And I'm so excited to be on your podcast because you are a rad person yourself.
Oh, thank you.
So I am Tracy Stuckrath, and I am the host of the Eating at a Meeting podcast and the founder of Thrive Meetings and Events. I'm an event planner for over 33 years, and 21 years ago, I got diagnosed with a food allergy, and I was producing about 100 events a year, and I couldn't eat at any of them. It was very hard. And so 14 years ago this year, I created my company, Thrive Meetings and Events, to educate the industry, the hospitality meetings and events industry, on how to feed me. And at the time, what was known as 15 million Americans. And since then, it is doubled, more than doubled that, 32 million Americans with food allergies. But I also address other dietary restrictions, including vegan and vegetarianism, religious-based holiday or religious-based dietary practices, as well as other medically necessary diets, which Martha, you're very attuned to as well. I want to make sure, or through the podcast and through my consulting and speaking, I want to make sure that everybody has something safe for them to eat while they're attending a meeting or an event of any kind, food festival, wedding, et cetera. But I also want to make sure they have the access to get to that plate. So I also, a fifth disability I talk about is mobility or vision and hearing, because those individuals still need to eat, but they need help in getting to those plates. So that's what I do.
Which is very, very cool. And I think that it resonates so awesome to, I guess, to me, or to one of the reasons I think you're so awesome, however, whatever, everything that you say resonates with me, is because you know exactly how it feels to be that person that's not included.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Yeah, it's really hard to go to a meeting, whether it's a corporate meeting with your coworkers or an international meeting with other people in your industry that where you're trying to land a deal or whatever, and you don't have anything to eat. And it's either a really early morning for breakfast or a really late evening or all day long, right? And you don't have anything to eat, and you have to go trek and find something offsite to get it, or your bag is loaded with snacks to eat and killing your shoulder because you got too much of it. But it's not being able to eat at a meeting precludes you from potentially landing a new deal, missing a conversation that your boss is having or your CEO is giving it something, and just enjoying time with friends. So it's really a hard situation to manage.
It definitely is. And I wish more people we're doing what you're doing in the aspect. And I do think we see more of it, but I really, I'm even on a level of, you know, being in the hospital industry, which I've been in the hospital, for almost 9 years now. And when it's like, all of a sudden, here's pizza. Great. Thanks. This is a thank you. It's a employee appreciation. I got a t-shirt out of the deal. Thankfully, I got something, but I can't eat those cookies that they gave out for Christmas or this or that. But I at least got a shirt and a blanket. So that was nice. But yeah, to not feel included 100%, it's just so frustrating. And then, like you said, the bag of food that's weighing you down. Or if you're like me and forget to bring that bag of food, it's beside the door. You're like, oh. Oh yeah, it's horrible. And like you said, and it takes away that feeling of being included and being part of the team or just enjoying life in general.
I mean, I remember years ago, before I even started doing this, but having been diagnosed, my boss said to me, we were doing a staff birthday party celebration, and she's like, just eat the damn cake, Tracy. And I'm like, but I can't. And it just, I mean, that happened in 2003 or four, you know, and I'm like, I still re 20 years ago, and I still remember that quote that she said to me. And I'm like, and she actually saw me later on at a funeral for one of our former coworkers. And she's like, you know what? My daughter went vegetarian, and I know how it, you know, trying to feed her and what she does and how she eats differently than what we normally do is a challenge. And so, I mean, I'm glad that she recognized that years later, but it still doesn't take the zing out of that comment.
Yeah, I bet. I've had some zingers, but I don't think I've ever had my boss ever directly do that. And wow, that's a whole nother level. Oh, okay. All I could do is laugh about it right now because I'm just like, oh.
It's just like, okay, you know, what do you want me to do? Right? You want to feed me cake and I go to the emergency room. You know, that's,
Exactly. Yeah, I think one day I came in to work, and I actually don't get this wrong, but I really do love most of the people I work with, and they were giving out bagels as like a thank you thing. And I'm walking through, coming in the door, and they're like, "Here's bagels for breakfast. Thank you guys for all you do." And I said, "You're welcome. I don't feel like dying today." And he's like, "Yes, please don't. I'm so sorry." Like, and the words were out of my mouth before I really thought about it. But you know, like. Maybe I could have said it nicer, but you know, sometimes I just get tired of being nice about it all the time.
Well, exactly. And I did an event for a client. This is probably 6 years ago, and it was an employee event all week long, and I had ordered the popcorn machine from the rental company. And it's that big one that you know, it's a great smelling popcorn or whatever. And at the end of the day, a gentleman said, do you have anything left over? And I said, oh, do you want some popcorn? He's like, I can't because I'm allergic to dairy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I do this for a living. And I forgot to, you know, to think about that because those popcorn machines automatically come with the butter already in the popcorn when you turn it on. And so the next day we were doing donuts, and I knew of a bakery in Atlanta that did vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free. And so I reached out to them and I ordered a variety that would meet multiple needs. And I went up to him and a couple of other his coworkers who were also either vegan or dairy-free. And I just, you know, I said, hey, we will have these options available for you on Friday. And they're like, no, you won't. And I'm like, yeah, I will, I promise. And they all came down and they're like, oh my God, where did you get these? What, you know, I mean, so I not only helped fulfill their sense of belonging in the workplace, I also got that bakery some new clients because that's what they do. So it was a win-win across the board, but it was also like, okay, I didn't think through it, right? And just like that coworker didn't think through it either. But yeah.
And that's amazing too. And like what people don't understand, and I'm sure that that's a challenge in what you do, which, you know, we could sit and talk for hours because we have literally done that many times.
Yes.
But one of the coolest things I think is the fact that when you get down to the point that you can make more money off of somebody that has food allergies or mobility issues or any type of disability, honestly, and really food allergies and autoimmune disease, they are a disability as well as, you know, the physical disabilities that you can see. Because we're going to tell everybody about you. And if you take care of us once, we're going to expect you to take care of us again. Like, we're going to keep coming back and back. Like, oh, no, I have to go here. I have to go here. I don't care if it costs me two times the amount. They take care of me. I'm safe. I'm included. They listen to me. So the what you are doing is so important and really driving that home to a lot of people. And I know sometimes, you know, it can feel like an uphill battle.
Oh, 100%. Every day.
And you know, we've exchanged texts during things when you're feeling that way. And I could just imagine the frustration at those events that you go through, attending events and spreading your word, but having to live that at an event. Like, people don't really understand that you're living this as you are literally doing it. And I think that that's like the behind the scenes that nobody sees, that you're coming to the event, you've got your bag of food, and you're trying to spread the word, and you're like, this is horrible. This is not good. This is not good. But then you have a working experience of this is what y'all are doing wrong right now. And I think it's so beautiful and amazing what you do. So I think I've said
Well,
that enough. I really like what you do.
thank you. Well, and it even like, and I will call you or I will text you when I'm frustrated about something, but then I get people texting me, you know, like I was at an event with a man, with a gentle friend of mine for a long time. And we were at the same reception on two different sides. And he texted me a picture of, it said spring roll brisket. And underneath it, it said vegan. And we're like, I'm like, okay, what? That's not vegan. I mean, and that happens every day. And I just happen to know the chef. And I'm like, chef, look at this. And he's like, oh my gosh. And so, and that's one of the disconnects when I think a lot of people don't realize in most hotels, just so you know, the kitchen is responsible for making the food and the front of the house staff is responsible for making the labels. And so there is a, I'm going to say it, I'm going to put it out there, there's a large disconnect on how to label and who's responsible for that labeling. I've had chefs tell me, well, I've told them they know they should know what to put on there. Or a chef said, I'm make the food, I'm not responsible for labeling it. And then I had culinary or front of house staff, banquet team say, well, I don't cook. How would I know what to label, how to label it? And so it's just that really big disconnect. So you as a person attending a meeting, you have to be really cognizant of that. And you have to be really communicative with the person who you're buying the ticket from. You know, XYZ company is hosting this event, whether it's your company or an event you're going to, make sure you disclose your allergens so that they can do something for you and follow through on all of it. How is it going to be labeled on the buffet? What do those labels look like? If I'm not going to eat through the buffet, are you going to hand me a personalized plate? And don't say special. We are all special. Say that you need a personalized plate to meet your dietary needs. And who is going to confirm what's on that plate? Yeah.
I love
It
that.
it's just it's there's a lot, and I don't think people realize there's so many people that go into making that plate at a meeting or an event. It's not like, I mean, there's so many people when you go into a McDonald's or whatever that are responsible for doing that too, whatever restaurant you're going to. But at a meeting and an event, you've got banquet teams that are hourly employees that only come in for that day of the event. You've got banquet captains who are responsible for making those labels the morning of. But then you've got line cooks and chefs, and in the kitchen, there's probably 50 different chefs cooking. And that reminds me, I had an allergic reaction to a drink at a hotel that the label said it was a green smoothie kind of thing, and it said kale and spinach and whatever. And it was very frothy, and I was drinking it, and I'm like, my throat started getting scratchy. And I went back and looked at the label. I'm like, there's nothing that I don't normally eat on here, so I don't know what's going on. And then a few minutes later, I saw a server come out, and she had just come from the kitchen and watched the chef make the food or make the drink. And she wrote it down. It said pineapple, kale, whatever. Come to find out that hotel had two different recipes with the same name on them. And one contained pineapple and the other one didn't. And in whether it was a staff changing over or timing, whatever, or they just got busy, they didn't check what recipe was being used, and then they didn't change the label up front. So It's a dangerous thing. And their EMTs came to see me and checked my EpiPens, for expiration dates and watched me. And I did administer the EpiPen because I was about to give a speech on that exact topic.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually started my presentation with that story, and my client didn't even know that that was happening to me in the back of the room.
Wow. That's amazing. And so dangerous. I mean, just there's so many levels. Like you said, there's that disconnect, and it's a huge disconnect. And then nobody wanting to be 100% responsible for it. We can sit there and point fingers and do everything we want to at the end of the day, but like just fix it. And it's really not that hard to fix. It takes communication. Yeah.
It does.
And a will.
A will to do it, not a will. I mean, it does take a will to make sure you have a will written, but I don't think that's what you meant.
No, you are correct. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Yes, no. Yeah, there's a difference. Like you can blame everyone you want, whoever you want, and however the company guidelines are, those are ridiculous. They mean nothing. The company guidelines, honestly, or even serve safe, anything like that means nothing really at the end of the day if the person that is doing the job doesn't care.
That's
So.
a really good point, or is uneducated. Because, and I was thinking about this today on my ride over back to the office today, is that, I mean, it depends. When did you get trained, right? Was it 9 months ago or whatever? But it also is a different thing when you're implementing it. You could get trained. You can go through Serve Safe allergen training or whatever allergen training you're going to, and even food handler training. But applying that is a whole different thing. And thinking about, okay, how is this going to be served? Because I reviewed menus for client. That was my job, and to make sure the labeling was correct. And the banquet event order said, which is the meeting planner contract for food and beverage, is like peppadew peppers stuffed with cheese, right? Well, when it was served, it was on a crostini. Nowhere in the description did it say that it was served on a crostini. Nowhere, what even on the banquet event order, was it said that it was served on a crostini. But now that makes that dish gluten, not gluten. It contains gluten, whereas I thought it was gluten free. And they were going to do us, and they're like, well, and I caught it. I'm like, it's kind of those things. And when it comes out in a different way, and if, or if it's presented, and this is going for disability wise, if you've got these really cool vertical buffets where here's the croissants and here's the bagels and here's the gluten-free food, but the person who's gluten-free is in a, utilizes a wheelchair, can that person reach that food at the top, right? So really kind of thinking through, teaching people to think through those processes is really much different than just taking the course to get trained in it.
It definitely is. And I've ran into that with going to places and training my own staff or coming in and places and training in the kitchen. I want to see them physically do the job. I mean, I can verbally tell you how to do it. You can too as well, Tracy. But seeing them implemented or seeing how they're actually taking those directions and then implementing them are two totally different things. They really are.
Yeah, I mean,
And
and it's as easy as, and this is not a, you're not intentionally doing this, but taking the tongs and picking up chicken and then using it on a vegan thing, or we'll let's just talk alpha gal, using tongs to pick up a steak and then going putting it on the kale, right? Using those same tongs or salads with cheese in it. And then the salad without the cheese in it. It's as simple as that. And it's something that can easily be done by accident. So I don't think that any of this is done maliciously. Let's hope to God not. But when you're trying to plan out for people and you do know of the dietary needs, it is a step that you really need to pay attention to.
It definitely is. So you brought up 750,000 amazing things, but like always. So what I do want to ask you, because we already went over like your why and your story, what plans do you have in the future for Thrive meetings and events and Eating at a Meeting podcast? And basically, how's your 2024 going to go?
Everybody should be but loose. No, I'm producing events for a couple of different people, different clients. One, I'm producing the events from start to finish, A to Z. And then a couple of other events, I'm serving as the food and beverage director slash culinary concierge. I really want to build that up. I want meeting professionals to use me, hire me to help them manage the food and beverage at their events. I really love doing that, figuring out, hey, do you have gluten-free options? Do you have vegan options? And making sure it's not just the guacamole, right? And so I really want to build up the culinary concierge, food and beverage director side of the business. And I eating at a meeting, I am on two, let's see, 223rd episode downloads tomorrow or onto the podcast platforms.
Now,
So
that's amazing to me.
I'm
Just
just, it's amazing to me that I've talked to that many people, but I love talking to strangers. So really continuing to grow that. Every month I have different themes, and I, in some way I'm like, okay, do I need to change my themes? But I think it's really still important across the board that, this month, January, is Dry January and Veganuary. So I'm splitting the episodes up, talking about veganism and then talking about non-alcoholic beverages for adults. And how do you incorporate those into meetings and events? And I'm also with that launching in February my first online class about how to make non-alcoholic cocktails. So it'll be called Thrive Happier Hours. And also launching Eating at a Meeting Destinations. So I want to take meeting planners to different destinations and introduce them to the food and beverage of those cities with that look of safe, sustainable, and compassionate food and beverage.
few things, right?
Just a few things. I mean, I'm not busy at all.
Okay, yeah, don't believe that one anyway.
I know. Don't know
Yeah,
when I'm going to do that at all, but I'm going to do it. Yeah.
that's good. That's good. We all have to have goals, and I think if
Yes.
anybody can do it, it will definitely be you, Tracy.
Oh, thank you very much, Martha.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I always like to go over, let my guest, kind of either decide to end with a special note or go over anything that you wanted to make sure that we didn't go over in our conversation that didn't come up. So, or you can do both.
I just, when I'm thinking about, and I was writing a proposal before I got on here, and at the bottom of it, of my proposal, and it's actually, I created an online course, it's called this, but I really think when you're planning events for employees or customers, it's like every guest counts, every meal, or every, sorry, every guest matters, every meal matters. And that's kind of my tagline that I've had for the last couple of years, which I just screwed up. But every guest matters, every meal matters. And really thinking about that, because food and beverage is so important to our society. I mean, and to our lives. I mean, if we don't eat, we die, right? And so when it's the number one expenditure on your event budget, why not spend that much more time focused on it to create an experience where everyone feels valued and
Yeah.
doesn't walk away hungry or hangry?
Everyone is important. Every meal is important, like you just said, on every single level. And that's just like, I believe everyone deserves the right to delicious food, my tagline. So it goes in the same direction as that. So everyone should be included at your table, regardless.
And if you want to
Awesome.
listen to the podcast, you can download, you can listen to it on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Audible, and I something new about Google. I don't know what they're doing right now, but I think they're putting it in YouTube. There's going to be podcasts on YouTube. They're doing
Yeah,
some,
I have a YouTube podcast specific separate onto my YouTube channel. So yeah.
Okay. Oh,
So
we
yeah,
need to talk.
it cycles into it automatically.
Okay.
It
Awesome.
should anyway. It should anyway. So, okay. So thank you so much, Tracy, for taking the time out again to be here. It was fun to talk to you, catch up a little bit, and I hope everybody listening to the podcast. I'm not on Apple yet, but I'm on most streaming platforms, just not Apple yet. We've been kind of having some issues with that, but I'm hopeful that 2024 we will make it happen. Right. I will get on
Yes.
Apple, but watch us on YouTube. I'll have everything linked down below in the description so you can go find Tracy for her meetings, her podcast. Awesome individual that I would definitely have plan one of my events. And then who knows, maybe we work together. You never know. You might get us as a package one day. You know.
Yes.
I'm like a dream team. Thanks again, Tracy. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Martha.